I want to welcome you. I'm Mark Berkler, and I'm going to share with you on how to hear God's voice. For me, it took me a number of years before I learned how simple it was to hear his voice. I've been a Christian actually for 10 years, and people talked about hearing God's voice, and in the Bible, people could hear God's voice from Genesis to Revelation, and I'm listening for a voice, and I can't hear a voice, and I don't understand why I can't hear a voice, because I want to hear a voice. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I'm a sheep." I had given my life to Jesus. I'd invited him into my heart. I knew he lived within me. I knew he promised, "My sheep hear my voice." So I said, how come there's no voice in my mind? All there is in my mind is just thoughts. And I couldn't pick out any voice from those thoughts. It was just thoughts. And so I felt led to take a year to focus on hearing God's voice. And God honors diligent seeking. He said, when you search for me with all your heart, then I will reveal myself to you. And he did. Halfway through that year of intense searching, he woke me up with a very booming bass voice. And I bolted straight out of bed. He said, get up. I'm going to teach you to hear my voice. And I walked over to my office, which is across the driveway. I was at a parsonage and sat down. He showed me four simple keys for hearing God's voice, which I'm going to share with you in the next few minutes. They work for everyone. If you use them, I guarantee that you'll be able to hear God's voice every single day. Those four keys are found in Habakkuk 2, 1 and 2. And they're also found in Revelation 1, verses 9 through 11. And all the prophets in the Bible use the same four keys to hear God's voice. So in Habakkuk said, the first key, he said, I'm going to go to my guard post. And so he had when he wanted to hear the voice of God, because he just got done complaining to God in chapter 1 of Habakkuk. He said, God, life is so terrible. Everything is so wrong. And he said, now I'm going to go to my guard post and let God speak to me and let him reprove me, because I know I've been complaining and bellyaching. And so he knew that he was out of sorts and needed God to sort him out. So he said, I went to my guard post. So key number one is that we have some place we get alone with God just to quiet our own minds, quiet our own thoughts. Because I don't need me talking to me. I need Jesus talking to me. And Jesus doesn't like to interrupt me. He'd rather me come to him and wait before him and let me and invite him to speak any more than I want my wife interrupting me or me interrupting her. It's nice to just let each other talk. So I go to my guard post. I go to a quiet place. It can be my desk. It can be office. It can be a living room couch, chair, any place. It could be a walk along the stream. Any place where you find you can quiet yourself down, a walk in the woods, a walk along the Sea of Galilee, go for a walk in your mind and take with Jesus along the Sea of Galilee. I love to do that. So people use music, soft soaking music. If I'm going to use music, I put it on very soft so it doesn't interrupt me. I don't want crescendos in the music. I don't want words in the music. And I don't want it to be a tune that I know the words to so I can sing along in my head, because I don't want my head involved. I want my heart involved. So wallpaper music, string music that I don't know the words to. That's what I'm looking for if I'm looking for soft music, and I want it very, very soft so it doesn't interrupt me. All right, so find a way that you can quiet yourself down, no distractions, close the door, get rid of the kids, turn the phone off, all those things, all right? So that's key number one, is to quiet yourself down. Key number two is in that next phrase from Habakkuk. He said, I'm going to keep watch to see what he's going to speak. And so we have eyes in our heart that can see. Paul prayed, I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened. So I began to pray that prayer. I said, Lord, just allow me to see. And the first time that I used the eyes of my heart and pictured myself with Jesus, I had just read John chapter 4, which I encourage everyone to read through the Gospel of John. It's a beautiful book, and it'll give you the heart of Jesus. So in John chapter 4, he's sitting in a well, and the Samaritan woman is there, and they're talking. And I grew up in a dairy farm, so I could picture myself sitting there with Jesus on the well, beautiful summer day, soft white clouds, beautiful blue sky. And I looked over at Jesus in this picture in my mind, which I would define as a godly imagination, because I'm picturing something the Bible says is true. Jesus said, I'm Emmanuel, God with you. And even though I'm going to leave my physical body, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to be with you forever. And so I know he's with me. And King David did. He said, I have set the Lord at my right hand. Acts 2:35, I believe it is, could be 25, but I think it's 35. I have set the Lord at my right hand. So he's picturing the Lord at his right hand. So that's what I do. I do what King David did. Psalm 16:8, he says the same thing. He says, I have set the Lord at my right hand. So I never used to do that. I never used to take the eyes of my heart, which can see into the spirit world. It can receive visions and dreams from God, and I can have godly imaginations, or I can have evil imaginations. So an evil imagination is lust and fear and doubt, and I'm going to fail, and I'm picturing the whole thing. That's what the Bible calls an evil imagination, which takes me backward, the Bible says. But a godly imagination, a good imagination, takes me forward. So if I'm picturing Jesus at my right hand, like King David was, that takes me forward. I feel faith, I feel hope, I feel love. I'm not alone. And it raises a level of faith within me, because a picture's worth a thousand words. So I can know that he's Emmanuel, God with me, or I can picture that. And if I picture it, it's a thousand times more powerful than just thinking it. So I put a smile on my face because it's easier for me to relax if I'm smiling. And if I'm not smiling, I'm grunting. And grunting cuts off the flow of the Holy Spirit within me. So I need to get over my grunting and striving and cease my labors and turn to rest. So I put a smile on my face, picture Jesus next to me. And the first time I did it was John chapter 4. And we were at the well, and I saw Jesus there. And then I prayed Paul's prayer, Ephesians 1:17. I prayed that the eyes of my heart would be enlightened. Lord, I want more than just a godly imagination. I'd like this to come alive. I'd like to step into a vision. And when I prayed that and smiled and tuned to flow, sure enough, the scene came alive. Jesus gestures, flowing thoughts come, and I'm in a two-way conversation with God. And that'll work for you too, every day. So that was key number two. Use the eyes of your heart. Picture Jesus with you in a comfortable setting. Make it simple, make it childlike, because you got to become like a child to enter the kingdom of God. Key number three, Habakkuk said, I'm going to keep watch to see what he's going to speak to me. So what's his voice sound like? Well, I mentioned to you that once in my life, he woke me up with a booming bass voice, but that's only once. The rest of the time, his voice has sounded like spontaneous flowing thoughts that light up on my mind. Have you ever had a thought come to you to pray for somebody? Just popped into your mind. You weren't thinking about that person. That's a spontaneous flowing thought. That's the thought that comes from the spirit world, hopeful in the Holy Spirit. If it's prompting to pray for a person, that's being sent by God to you. Also, a creative solution. I don't know how to solve a problem, and I kind of put it in the back of my mind, and all of a sudden, boom, pops into my mind the answer or a picture of the answer. That's a vision from God or a word from God. So very simple, very easy. Okay, spontaneous flowing thoughts is God's voice. Spontaneous flowing pictures is God's vision. I want them both. So when I prayed and said, Lord, anoint the eyes of my heart, the scene in my mind came alive. And he was sitting with Jesus on the well in Samaria. And so it's a vision. I'm stepping now into a vision. And Jesus is gesturing. And as he's gesturing, spontaneous flowing thoughts are coming, which I begin to write down. So that was his voice, spontaneous flowing thoughts. All right. And then I do what Habakkuk did. Okay. So I've got three keys. Quieted myself down. I fixed my eyes on Jesus. I tuned to spontaneity. And now, with the final step, key number four, God said, record the words that I give to you. That's in verse two, Habakkuk 2:1-2. So I just began to write the flow that was coming to me. And because I was writing, it facilitated the flow continuing, because I knew that I didn't have to test it right now. I could just get the whole flow. And so I wrote in faith for 5 minutes, got a paragraph, took it to my wife, Patty, and she read it over and said, that's definitely God speaking to you. And my faith level rose. Okay. And these are the steps that I want you to take too. If you write in faith for 5 minutes or 10 minutes, whatever you want, the flow will continue, because those who come to God must come in faith. And out of my innermost being shall flow a river of living water. This he spoke with the Spirit. So I want to tune to the Spirit. So I tune to flow. And I come in faith, and I stay in faith for 5 minutes, and write in faith for 5 minutes, because I don't need to test it now. I can test it when the flow is over, because I've got it on paper. That's key number four, which is crucially important. Journaling lets me, two-way journaling lets me stay in faith for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, so God can keep talking for 5 minutes and 10 minutes, and I can have a two-way conversation, which I can capture on paper, Every morning for 5 minutes, and in 5 minutes, God talking to me in the morning, He can set me up for the day with faith, hope, love, joy, and peace, which is exactly what He did for me and exactly what He'll do for you. And so then when that flow is over, you can do what I did with Patty. I took my journaling and I shared it with my wife, somebody I respect as knowing the Bible and hearing the voice of God. She read it over. I said, "What does your heart say?" She said, "Well, I believe that's God's voice." So my faith level rose. And the Bible does say in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word is confirmed. So we encourage you all to do that. Have two or three counselors, spiritual people that you know, that you respect, who know the Bible, who love God, who are following God faithfully. And email your journaling out to them and say, hey, or get on the phone and read it to them. Don't paraphrase it. Read it in the first person, because your paraphrase isn't anywhere near as good as what God said. So read them the actual thing. Ask them, does your heart bear witness that came from God? Let them confirm it. Then you know it is from God. And this flow of thoughts is going to be directed, guided by the picture you're gazing on. So if you're gazing on Jesus, the flow will probably be from Jesus. If you're gazing at hurt or pain or revenge or anger, the flow is going to be contaminated. It'll be coming from an evil spirit, not the Holy Spirit. So I want this flow to line up with Scripture. I want it to line up with the names of Jesus, loving, kind, healing, teaching. I don't want it to line up with the names of Satan, accuser, adversary, liar, condemner, thief who steals my faith, hope, and love. So those are some of the ways that we can test this flow to make sure it's a pure flow that we receive every single day. And so I did journal about this videotape, and here's what the Lord said to me just a couple minutes ago. You always start your journaling out with telling the Lord you love Him and how much you appreciate Him. So, Lord, I love you. I give you today. What would you like to speak to me? Mark, I love you too, and I thank you for walking in obedience to me. Thank you for sharing these four keys to all who will listen. For once I begin speaking to them, everything changes in their lives and relationships, even as it did in yours. So celebrate this day that together we are sharing the four keys with another group of people who will watch this video series. They'll begin using them, and they will be changed, and I will be glorified. Thank you for being faithful to spread this message. It's a message of hope and life. It brings life to all it touches. My response, you are welcome, Lord. Thank you for granting the revelation of these four keys so I can easily commune with you every single day. So getting a paragraph like that every morning from God is life-changing. Because He'll talk to me about my relationship with my wife, my kids, my friends, my acquaintances. He'll give me creative ideas for business and ministry. And I can ask Him all sorts of things. I don't want to get into, you know, prophetic. Lord, will you date when you're going to come back? Or should I buy IBM stock today? Because the future is a little bit in flux. You know, when God says, look, I'll say a thing, but if people will repent, I can change my mind. So, you know, the future is a bit in flux, so I don't want to try to predict the future. This journaling is to build a two-way love relationship between you and God, to go back to the Garden of Eden, have a daily walk with Him in the cool of the day, and let Him just love on you and heal you and restore you. So give these four keys a try. I believe you will be thrilled at what you experience. This is Mark Perkler, signing off.